Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to John 19. In verse 30, when Jesus had received the vinegar, and of course he is being crucified here, he said, "It is finished." And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. Now, this is the single most important event of history. Everything in the Bible prior, everything in the Bible after, everything about creation itself is referring back to this event. When Jesus said, "It is finished." The entire purpose for the creation of everything was for that moment when Jesus said, "It is finished." In Revelation 13:8, the Lamb was slain from the foundation of the world. That means, in the original language, that the structural foundation upon which the world, the cosmos, that is to say the universe, was built, was the slain Lamb. This right here, "It is finished." Now, considering that this is in John 19:30, which we see as approximately 2,000 years ago, and in Revelation 13:8, the Lamb was slain from the foundation of the world, that might produce a little bit of a seeming contradiction in our minds. But if you realize the nature of time, and we're not going to get into that, but if you realize the nature of time, then you will realize that there is no contradiction here at all. That indeed, this was what took place, and then the cosmos, the entire universe, was built upon it. It is finished. That leads us to the question, what is finished? Because the entire plan of God had a purpose. "It is finished" was the completion of that purpose. So what was the purpose? Well, in Ephesians 2:14, the Word of God says that He Himself is our peace, who had made both one, and has broken down the middle wall of separation. And indeed, in Matthew 27:51, the veil that was in the temple that surrounded and secluded the Holy of Holies, where God met the priest at the ark, that veil was torn in two. And then it says, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, which is hostility, that is, the law of commandments contained in the ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace, and that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity, the hostility. When Jesus said, "It is finished," he was referring not to the events of the cross. He was referring to the events of purpose for which all things were created. We were created, the universe was created, the earth was created to produce a platform for this, a stage, if you will, so that God could produce one new man, so that the love of God could be revealed. Since God, who is love, needed expression in order to express, in order to experience the fullness of who He is. And so, "It is finished" was the formation of the one new man. that God would take sinful men and he himself would become one person with sinful men. This, of course, was a scandal in heaven. So much so that in Ezekiel 28:15-18, Lucifer rebelled against God. 1/3 of heaven in Revelation 12 rebelled with him against God because of this one thing. It is finished. God became one with man. We became the body of Christ there. And so our sins were cleansed by his blood on the cross. We hung there with him. We were crucified with him. In Galatians 2:20, we were buried with him. We were resurrected with him. And we were ascended with him. This is the work of the cross. This is what it means in 2 Corinthians 5:17 that we are the new creation. New is the word kainos. It means newly made, brand new, never existing before. Creation refers to type. You could say we are a new species. This species did not exist apart from this event of it is finished. Now, if we are to be the fullness of this new man, it's not enough that it simply took place and it is truth. We need to be more than truth. We need it to be experience. Because although God receives all that that is simply by the work of Christ, he is not satisfied with the body of Christ not being able to experience who they actually are. It would be similar to having a paralyzed body. And so God is interested in us experiencing the fullness of it is finished, the fullness of the new creation. In order to function as the body of Christ, in order to function, you could say, in the fullness and the richness of the relationship that God wants for us to have with him, we need more than simply it is finished and we became one new man. We need to have the experience of that, and the way that we get the experience of that is that we need a new, reformed, rebuilt, newly made mind. Do you have your mother or your father's brain? No, of course you don't. You see, to have the old mind, the mind of the fallen man, as a new creation, would be similar to having the brain of your parents and not your own brain. It wouldn't work for you. They could tell you all about things, but your own ability to think, your own ability to experience, your own ability to relate to God would not exist. For that matter, your ability to relate to or think about anything would not exist. You need your own mind. Well, it's like that with the new creation. The new creation, it's not enough that we're a new creature. We also have to have a new mind. Because without the new mind, the new creature is never complete. And yet Jesus says it is finished. It is brought to completion. It is brought to fullness and maturity. It is finished. In Matthew 14:13, when Jesus left Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which was upon the sea coast in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali. that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, by Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw a great light, and to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. In order for us to experience all that God has for us, in order for us to be able to function in the kingdom of heaven, we must repent. The problem with repentance, however, is that most people don't really understand what repentance is. There's this notion, and it's not incorrect, it's just incomplete, that repentance is a changing of the mind, particularly when a person is in sin. And so they repent. They change their mind about sin so that they stop sinning and they go back into fellowship with God. That is a correct application, but only one application, but it's not the fullness of the meaning of the word repent. If Jesus says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, people will often think, well, I guess he means repent from unbelief. And while that is true, it is still not complete. The word repent is metanoete in the original language, and it's a present active imperative of the word metanoito. The word itself means to perceive, to comprehend, and to understand together with. It's often translated as a change of mind, but it's much more than a change of mind. It's a different way of perception. You see, I used to perceive, I used to comprehend before I was saved according to the old nature, according to somebody who did not know God, who was not indwelled by the Holy Spirit, much less filled by Him, according to somebody who did not have the Word of God so that he could have the mind of Christ. I perceived like the world perceives, with a fallen, corrupt, natural mind. Well, that's what we repent from. That's where we started, and the change is in this. That when a person repents, it's not that they just change their mind about something being sin and now they stop sinning, or not having faith and now they start trying to operate in faith. It's that now, as opposed to before, they have a joint mind with God. They have one mind with God, and therefore they have one perception, one comprehension, and one understanding with God. It's much more than just changing of mind. If I change my mind about sin, I can still remain in my fallen nature and simply quit what I'm doing. A lot of people do. That doesn't mean that there's any difference in that person. That doesn't mean that they're the new creature. That just means that they've quit something. No, repentance is when I take on the mind of Christ, and because I have the mind of Christ, I have the perceptions of Christ, I comprehend like Christ, and I understand together with Christ. And now I'm able to operate in the kingdom of heaven. The throne of the kingdom of heaven is a throne of grace. So when I repent, it's not that I'm repenting away from something, it's that I'm repenting toward something. It's not that I'm quitting something per se, although in practical terms that may be one of its results. It's that I'm entering something that I didn't possess before. I enter into the mind of God. Now, in Matthew 13:24, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in the field, but while the man slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. This repentance concept is really what defines the true kingdom of God. In Matthew 7:21, not everyone that calls Jesus Lord is saved. Not all of them will enter into the kingdom. Jesus is there, the one that does the will of his Father. He is the one who's saved. Well, in John 6:29, the works of God are faith. That's the work of God. So the will of the Father is that I live by faith. And if I live by faith, it's going to be a Romans 1:17 experience where the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. I'm going to grow in faith. But it's not growing in faith that is my own faith. In Galatians 2:20, I'm growing in the faith of the Son of God, which I live by. Now, the New King James Version, which is okay, but they're a little bit sloppy sometimes, I think, in the way that they do their translations. They translate that as faith in the Son of God. That's not a correct translation. It's the faith of the Son of God. It's a genitive case there. Genitive case is possession and origin, and in this case, it's both. It's possession and origin. It originates with God. He is the author of our faith, and it is His faith that we live in. So as I receive the mind of God, I also receive the faith of the Son of God. And this is how I enter into the kingdom of heaven. It's not that I have my own faith. A lot of unsaved people have their own faith, but it's not a saving faith. But it is a real faith. Sometimes unbelievers get answers to prayer, but they're still unbelievers. They still don't have a saving faith, but they enter the law of faith. But the law of faith is not the faith of the Son of God. That's a different thing. The faith of the Son of God, as I receive the Word of God in Romans 10:17. And so, to have the mind of God is to have faith. In Ephesians 4:22, we put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. And we are renewed in the spirit of our mind. And this is what it's talking about. You see, this renewing, this making new in the spirit of the mind. If I'm a new creature, I need a new mind. There's no such thing as a new creature with an old mind. Sometimes people try to be the new creature and have an old mind, and this does not work for them. Such a person, while in position, while the way God sees them, yes, they are saved. Yes, they are accepted in the Beloved. Yes, they are the apple of God's eye. But no, they will never experience what they have. Such a person will have natural experiences no different than the lost, because they don't have a renewed mind. Because they don't have a renewed mind, they're unable, in the next verse, to put on the new man, which was created in righteousness, and of course that's speaking of faith and true holiness, the nature of God. Faith, which is the way that we enter into grace, which is the governing principle, the throne of God, in Romans 5:2 and Hebrews 4:16, is when I think with the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ is freely given to us in 1 Corinthians 2:16. It's in the Word of God in Romans 10:17. But it does require repentance. If I wish to have the mind of Christ, I must repent. I must have a joining of my mind and God's mind. I think together with, I perceive together with Him, I comprehend together with Him, I understand together with Christ. This is repentance. When He said repent and be baptized, what He's saying is repent and operate in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit in John 16:13 guides us in all truth, the Word of God in John 17:17. When I've repented, the result may be that I've quit certain things. But really, when I've repented, it's not that I've left something, it's that I entered something. I entered the mind of God. And having the mind of God takes me out of sin because it takes me into faith. Well, in Romans 14:23, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. So I can't actually even repent from outright sin without having one mind with God, because I may quit what I'm doing but still not operate in faith. And even if I quit what I'm doing but not operating in faith, I don't have repentance because I don't have the oneness of perception with God, the oneness of thought, the oneness of comprehension and understanding. Yes, I quit something, but that doesn't mean anything. Because the blood of Christ has cleansed me from all sins, so I've quit something that God has already eliminated. In order to continue in fellowship, I have to get my mind right with God, and that does have results. The quitting of something is not an indicator of repentance. Thinking with God is an indicator of repentance. That's why faith comes by hearing of the Word, because the Word is the mind of Christ. I can't think with Him if I don't have His mind. I can't operate in faith if I don't have His mind. I have to have the mind of Christ. Carnality, on the other hand, is a lack of repentance. It's a pre-resurrection mind. This is the mind of death. In Ephesians 2:1, it's going back into dead in sins, which is, in Romans 14:23, dead in a lack of practical faith. So some believers, while they are believers, they experience the deadness that the world experiences. They wonder why there is no life going on. They wonder why there is no cup running over. They wonder why they don't have the fullness of the life of God. And the reason is simple. They have not repented. They may say to themselves, well, I've quit whatever I was doing before I was saved, I did repent. No, you've quit something, but you never entered into something. You enter the mind of God, and that's where you find repentance. Sometimes people think that the Word of God, the doctrine that Christianity doesn't work, and the reason why they think that is because they've never actually tried it. They got saved, but never experienced what God had for them because of a lack of repentance. They remain carnal. They remain in their experience separated from God, albeit God has reconciled them to Himself in position. Well, what good does my position do me here and now if I can't have its experience? And yet in Romans 8:29, God is trying to bring me to the place of the experience of the life of God. Repent. Have one mind with God so that you can have the same perceptions and the same comprehension and the same understanding with God. Please understand, this is not a theological philosophy. This is practical reality. The just will live by faith, the Word of God says. This is how we get there. It's not an idea, it's a lifestyle. The just live by faith. What is carnality then? A lack of repentance. A lack of the mind of God. It's not that I sin when I'm carnal. I can't do anything but sin if I'm carnal. Because I'm not operating in faith. If I have the mind of Christ, then I will have the experiences of God. Then I will have the faith of Christ. Because I have been crucified with Him, in Galatians 2:20, I have them. And being crucified with Him, I'm now the one new man with Christ in Ephesians 2:14 to 16. Because these things are reality, I have the mind of Christ. And so I have the, and I also have the faith of Christ. I don't have my own faith. That's a natural faith. A natural faith is useless when we're dealing with God. I have His faith coming from His Word, giving me His thoughts. There is faith. Sometimes people think that faith is believism. I believe, therefore I have faith. Well, I believe it's true. The problem with that is that the devils believe and tremble. They believe it's true, but they don't have the mind of God. They don't have the character of God, and therefore even if they have the Word of God, they still cannot have the mind of God. The letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. And so if I have the character of God, which I have resident in me because the Holy Spirit is living in me, then I have the opportunity for the mind of God. If I receive the Word of God, mix faith with what I hear and enter it in humility. And then I can have faith. Then I can have the mind of God. Then I have repentance. Repentance is not quitting. Repentance is gaining something. All too often as believers, we look toward the negative side of things. When in truth, God wants to add to us. As He is adding to us, things may fall away from us, but nevertheless, He is constantly adding to us. Remember, God takes away by adding. And so He adds His life and we get rid of sin. He adds His heart and we get rid of fear. He adds His Spirit and we get rid of deception. He adds His Word and we get rid of doubt. For that matter, we get rid of stupidity. Because we have the mind of God. So God is constantly trying to add to us, and this adding to us is the mechanism of repentance. Repentance is actually a gift. People say to themselves, well, you have to repent. And they try their best to repent, and they never succeed, and they enter into this Romans 7 experience where with the mind they serve the law of God, but with the flesh they serve the fallen nature. But that's not how it really works. Repentance is something God adds to us as we grow in the grace and the knowledge of Christ. We take on His mind. And by doing so, we have His perceptions, we have His comprehension, we have His understanding. That's faith. We don't necessarily have it by practical experience at first, although in Romans 5:3 that practical experience will come. Faith is when I have His thoughts, and that's what I think with. It's not that I possess His thoughts like I possess an understanding of math or biology. It's that I possess His thoughts because I think with His thoughts. There's nothing difficult about it. It's not something I'm trying to do. It's no more difficult than thinking, because it is thinking. And so I simply think with the thoughts of God, and it comes through the Word of God. In Isaiah 1:18, God says, "Come now, let us reason together." This is faith. "Come now, let us reason together." This is repentance. In Philippians 2:5, what He's really saying is, "Come now, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ." When I have the thoughts of God, I have the faith of God. When I have the faith of God, I have peace that passes understanding. I have the fruit of the Holy Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, temperance, meekness, and all those things in Galatians 5:22 and 23. I have confidence. I don't worry about a self-image because Christ is my image. I don't have bad emotions because I have a mind that is the mind of God to initiate to my emotions. I have a mind to think with that is guided in all truth by the Holy Spirit Himself. And I'm able to enter into the fullness of His life. When God says in Galatians 2:20, that the life that I now live, I live by faith of the Son of God, that for me to live is Christ. When God says that He gives me the fullness of life, when God says that He wants to fill my cup to overflowing, He actually means it in practical terms. So often, we tend to take the Word of God as though it is some kind of a theological philosophy rather than a practical reality, and therefore we never actually apply it. It's like trying to apply an understanding of calculus in your everyday life. Well, calculus is different. This is how you think. This is how you go about things, and in order to receive the benefits, you actually have to apply it. You don't just receive it, you apply it. God says it, do it. For example, God says in 2 Corinthians 10:5, "Cast down the imaginations and high things that exalt themselves against the knowledge," that is to say, the Word of God, the doctrines of Christ, "and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." Well, what if I told to do this by God? It is the imperative mood. That means it's a dogmatic command, but I don't do it. I just let any old thought float around in my brain. I don't have repentance. I don't, therefore, have the mind of Christ. But if I want the mind of Christ, I apply this. It says, cast down those things which aren't from God, and I just let them stay there. Well, what good did the Word of God do me? No, if I want the mind of God, I must apply the Word of God. In other words, I actually do not tolerate thoughts that are not thoughts from God. And that's not saying that I have to be religious in my thinking. That means that I have heavenly thinking in all my details. That means that I'm able to love because I'm able to perceive like God perceives. What is it like to you when somebody misunderstands you? And perhaps because they misunderstand you, they're unkind or impatient with you. Or maybe they don't even misunderstand you. Maybe they're just unkind and impatient. Imagine what it would be like if somebody ridiculed you. Well, you wouldn't be too happy about it. This is not somebody you'd be getting close to. But imagine that this person now applies what God said about love one another as I have loved you in John 13:34. The first manifestation of love is patience. The second one is kindness. So let's just leave it at those two because everything else comes out of those two. So a person applies this. And now instead of being critical, they're patient. Instead of ridiculing, they're kind. They don't think evil. They don't think critically. They don't see your shortcomings. And now you have somebody who's setting you free. Well, that's what the mind of God is like. In Galatians 5:6, in the second part of the verse, faith is energized by love. So if we define faith as having the mind of God, the energy of the mind of God comes from the love of God. And so if I have the love of God and the mind of God, then I have a very energetic mind that is constantly thinking not only with the thoughts of God, but in the character of God. Well, show me one person who's ever been condemned, ever felt bad about themselves, ever made bad decisions from having the mind or the character of God. The benefit is huge. In relationships, repent. That is to say, in relationships, have the perceptions and comprehension and understanding with God. On the job, you go to work, repent. While you're at work, have the perceptions and the comprehension and the understanding that God has. As you talk to your family, repent. As you talk to your friends, repent. As you're driving down the road, repent. Have the perceptions, the comprehension, and the understanding that God has. Think with the Word of God. This revolutionizes everything about our life because it gives us the life of God, the fullness of life in John 10:10. It's not difficult. It takes humility. When we cast down imaginations and high things that exalt themselves above the knowledge of Christ, when we bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, this maintains our oneness with Christ. It is finished, and the fullness of it is finished comes and is protected by repentance. We have the mind of Christ, therefore we have the oneness of Christ. Repentance is what allows me to have oneness with Christ. Without repentance going on in my life, the Adamic thoughts, in other words, the thoughts of the fallen man, the old sin nature, become an infection in my soul. Really, it's an infection to the new creature, the body of the new creature. And so when we find it, we cast it out. because it's the very thing that prevents me from knowing Him and from experiencing the fullness of His life. So when He says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, He says, repent so that you can enter into the fullness of the kingdom of God. Not simply in your position where God knows it's so, but in your experience where you know it's so, in practical terms. Repent. Just repent. Think with the thoughts of God is what it means to repent. What I can't do is enter into repentance with self-orientation. Those two are opposites. In Luke 17:33, whoever seeks to preserve his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life will preserve it. That doesn't seem to make much sense, does it? Well, no, it makes perfect sense. To preserve my self-life is to preserve dead in trespasses and sins in my experience, even though I may be born again. But if I forsake my self-life, then I get the fullness of the life of God. That's what it means to experience it is finished. I experience what the new creature is. I experience the life of the new creature. I experience the attitude of the new creature. I experience the fullness of the new creature. I experience the joy of the new creature. The confidence, all that God is, I am designed to experience. But in order to experience it, I must have His mind, which is to repent. In Matthew 9:29, Jesus went to the blind man and He touched his eyes. Now, prior to that, Jesus said to him, do you believe that I am able to do this? He wanted to be healed of his blindness. And the man said, yes, I believe you can do it. So He touched his eyes and He said to him, according to your faith, be it unto you. Eyes speak of perception. So what Jesus did is He touched his perception, and this is what all of us need. We need Him to touch our perception. And then according to my faith, from a renewed perception, a perception made new by the mind of Christ through the Word of God, I experience what my faith allows. Now, I will experience as much as my faith allows, or as little as my faith allows, depending on my faith. Now, faith in and of itself is not about a quantity. It's about the nature of faith. It's not even about the quality of faith. Some people say it's about the quality of faith. No, it's the nature of faith. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. The Word of God is the mind of Christ. Faith is thinking with the mind of Christ. And to the measure that I think with the mind of Christ, I will experience the life of God. To the measure that I repent, I have. When He said, it is finished, He gave this to me. It is at my disposal. It's entirely there in its fullness for my benefit. What I need to do is repent. What I need is to have his perceptions, his comprehension, his understanding, together with him. And that comes by the Word of God. Amen? If you've never asked Christ to be your Savior, if you don't know that you're going to go to heaven when you die, tell him that you will receive the gift that he's given you, his mercy, and that he has taken your sins away from you. And pray in your heart, Lord Jesus, I accept you as my Savior. I accept your gift of mercy and what you have done on the cross. Save my soul. Take me to heaven when I die. And give me a relationship with you now as you come into my heart and live.